It is all about UNITY. Don't take Queen Latifah's word for it. You can ask all of the amazing attendees here at the 2024 Democratic National Convention. I'm Maggie Dawn. Folks, you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin and wherever you are. Don't forget, folks, you can go get our app for free wherever you find your apps and listen to us, you know, in Europe, if you happen to be there. You don't want to miss a second of it, certainly not this DNC coverage. I'm joined this hour and this show with my special co-host, Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson. And boy, do we have a treat for everybody who's listening. I am so humbled and privileged to be joined by Bill Daley, whose history of government service is nearly unmatched. You are the former chief of staff for President Barack Obama. You served as the Secretary of Commerce under Bill Clinton. You helped on Al Gore's election. You helped lead that effort. I watched him speak a couple times during that election cycle. Boy, that one hurt. I was in law school when that sure went down. The hanging chads. Yeah, it did, Bill.
But it was 500 votes in Florida.
Yeah.
When people say my vote doesn't count, when they say, what's the point? It's not going to change anything. Those 500 votes in Florida changed America, changed the world. And so the one thing I would say to the listeners is there, no matter what you think about a candidate, make up your mind, move forward, and then get involved and make sure you vote. Because you really shouldn't be complaining after an election if you haven't participated.
Yeah, anytime I talk to people and I hear them complaining about this politician or that government decision, my next question is always, did you vote?
Yes.
Because if you didn't, conversation over. Not really, because I love to argue about politics. But we got to start with the brass tacks. I want to ask you about your time as chief of staff. I don't know if there is a more difficult job in all of politics than being a chief of staff. You're a gatekeeper. You have to make a whole ream of decisions for your principal. You have to protect your principal. You got to get policy done while also looking out for the politics. What was that like? So in like normal human years, we would age 4 years in a term. In chief of staff years, it's like 20. What was the experience like for you, Bill?
Chief of staff, how difficult. Just think of the poor president. We see all presidents age.
Yes.
Look, it was a great honor, probably the greatest honor of my life professionally. President Obama is a great guy. He's great to work with. He was easy to work with. Mm. No doubt about it. It was a very tough year in 11. You had the Middle East crisis. Yep. We had a budget deficit problem. You had the Arab Spring, as I said. You had the Osama bin Laden takedown, which was an amazing thing to be part of. And I had the opportunity to be in every meeting with the president from the first day I was chief of staff through the action on April 30th and May 1st. So it was a tough year.
Were you in the room when that operation?
Yeah, definitely. Wow. And it was only the U.S. military could have pulled that off. There's not a military in the world that could have done that. And it was an incredible accomplishment, and the president led that. Some people said, oh, there was an easy decision. First of all, it was never an easy decision to send men and women into combat, put their lives at risk for the American people for something that that president thinks is most important. So, and I watched that whole discussion around how to do that action, and the president led that discussion with the military. So it was a great honor. So but it was a tough year.
Yeah, since we're on the topic, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up President Trump's recent comments about Medal of Honor recipients. Just shocking. The Atlantic had reported back in 23 with triple sources, confirmation from folks that he had repeatedly denigrated fallen service members. Well, last week he gave it to us unvarnished, right? Denigrating those that have received the highest award that our country can bestow. What was your reaction having been beside President Obama in some of those moments?
I always think he can't surprise us with another outrageous statement.
And then he does.
And people who get the Medal of Freedom from the president, presidential medal, people are who do a lot of good in society. Some may be a baseball star. Stan Musial got one when I was there with President Obama. So there's a collection of people, and they're all important in what they've done to help our culture, help our country. But nobody pays the ultimate service like the Medal of Honor recipients.
Yeah.
And I would say if you polled every recipient of the Medal of Freedom and asked them if they thought it was equal to the Medal of Honor, I think it would be overwhelming, if not unanimous, that none of those people would think it was analogous to the Medal of Honor.
Mm. Well put.
Secretary, so you've served our country in a myriad of ways. You've done election work. You've served as Secretary of Commerce. You've worked as the Chief of Staff for Barack Obama. What brought you to service? And for the staffers who are out there listening, what advice do you have for them who are looking to get involved?
Look, what I say to them, and obviously there's a lot of young people here who are involved in this convention, enjoy it. Understand what's going on. Celebrate it. It may be a once-in-a-lifetime thing for you to be so engaged. And I say this to people, young people who get in campaigns. Just go with it. Yeah. Appreciate it. Your life's going to get complicated. Things happen as you get older. But enjoy the moment. I've been blessed. My father was mayor, and so it was kind of in our blood from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, we were born in the politics.
You told me about your brother.
And my brother was mayor for 22 years, my dad for 21 years. My other brother, John, has been a county commissioner for almost 30 years, served in the legislature. I ran for office once. The public didn't quite agree that I was the one who should be in politics. But I've been honored and pleased to have had the opportunity to spend time in government and the private sector. And but my opinion for young people to get into this and enjoy it, understand it, and then add some value to it.
I love that. I love that. It's amazing.
I have worked for years alongside Marcelia Nicholson, and I'll tell you the things that I think make politicians quite extraordinary. And the first one is raw, sheer effectiveness based on personal persuasive skill, likability, and the ability to see exactly where the overlap of interests lie so that you can get things done. I think Marcelia is a once-in-a-generation kind of politician. She's that good. Bill, you've been around politics. Literally, you came out of the womb breathing in the air of politics.
I know my mother would agree with that.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Daly. But you've been around people that do this professionally for a long time. What stands out to you as a really differentiator amongst the most successful politicians?
I would say this, to be honest with you. I mean, the most successful business people, the people who are most curious about others and about the problems and understanding them, complex issues, not just giving a speech, not just doing an interview, but actually getting to understand the complexity of an issue. And that takes a lot of work.
It does.
Okay? It's a lot easier to be a politician who just goes out and gives speeches or goes on TV or radio. Kissing the babies or making charges or saying stupid things. Okay? Or being just on social media. But understanding an issue and also try to understand the people who don't agree with what you think about that issue and the facts around that issue. Now, many people today, and former President Trump seems to be the greatest example of it, facts don't mean anything.
Yeah.
Right.
But it is you can make up your own stories, but you can't make up your own facts.
Yeah.
At least you shouldn't. But I would say, and I've just met the president, it would seem to me that somebody who likes people and is curious and will put the time in to understand an issue can be very successful in politics.
Folks, you're listening to Bill Daly, former Chief of Staff for President Barack Obama, former Secretary of Commerce under Bill Clinton, helped run Al Gore's campaign. Such a privilege. You were referencing, you know, the day-to-day briefings of the president, and the Chief of Staff sits aside the president in all of those briefings. And you've mentioned the curiosity that has to fundamentally motivate folks that run for elected office to dig into the tough issues and really understand them. One of the things that has always bothered me about the MAGA cult leader was the fact that by all accounts, The man cannot consume complex information, no matter what vehicle is used to present it. And it got so bad that people that worked in the West Wing basically were like, you can give him one page and it's got to have a picture on it. Otherwise, he ain't getting it. How important is it, Bill, that people really dig in, a president digs into these complex issues? I always tell people the simple problems have all been solved. All that's left are the tough nuts.
Nothing comes into the Oval Office that is easy.
Yeah.
If it's easy, somebody else has solved it. And they've tried to take credit for it. Okay. When it comes to the president, it's a really tough, difficult thing to decide. And that's where the differentiator is.
Mm.
So the easy things, and quite frankly, as a staff person, you want to keep problems away from the president. If you could solve them or help solve them or have a cabinet member solve them
delegate
or legislate
it, yeah.
Try to delegate it. Don't bring it into the president to bother him with it if you can avoid it. So when it comes to him, it's a big problem. And it takes a lot of understanding. And President Clinton or President Obama, they would have briefing documents, sometimes dozens of pages
yes.
to go through to get an understanding. And I saw this quite often with, at least in the, pardon me, issues I dealt with at Commerce with President Clinton, he'd want more information.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
There wasn't enough information he could get about an issue or request of you. It was pretty amazing.
I had a law professor that once said to me, I can tell the quality of a person's mind by the questions that they ask. Right?
That's a good statement. Absolutely.
Marcy, I'll give you the last question of the secretary this afternoon.
So we have a choice. We can elect Trump or we can elect our Vice President Harris. What would you tell the voters about the choice they have to make on this upcoming November?
Just the last 5 weeks, whatever it's been since the Vice President got the nomination and President Biden dropped out, look at the excitement and happiness that's there. Now, you may differ with her on issues, but this is about the future, not the past. We've got to get past all of this sort of craziness. I think she can do that. It's a huge challenge. There's no doubt in my mind that America wants that. So it's a little bit of faith. She's got 70 days to prove this to American people. But we know what the alternative is. We saw it, and America rejected it 4 years ago.
That's right.
And we're going to do it again
this
fall. My thanks.
Great. Thank you.
Bill Daley,
Thanks, everyone. Nice meeting you.
Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to Civic Media Radio Network special coverage of the DNC here in downtown Chicago. Don't go anywhere, folks. The fun continues after these brief messages. Every heartbeat that our next president is Kamala Harris. It is so exciting to be here, folks. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to Civic Media's special live coverage from downtown Chicago, live here at the Democratic National Convention. My special guest co-host this show, Marcelia Nicholson, chairwoman of the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors. And we're joined by yet another very special guest. It's just the guests and the fun just keeps on coming. Marcy, I'm going to let you introduce our next
guest. We're just sprinkling guests on you all. It is my absolute honor to introduce our next guest, Arvina Martin, a Democratic National Convention at-large member, delegate, executive director of Emerge. I'm a proud Emerge alum.
Yes.
Roller derby extraordinaire.
Roller derby extraordinaire.
Native American Caucus representative. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, and I'm really excited to be here with you too, Marcelia.
So, I mean, this is great. What's been the most exciting part of the convention so far for you?
I mean, besides meeting Joy Reid like 10 seconds ago.
I know. Okay, tell more. Kiki, give everybody the dish on meeting Joy Reid.
She or her producer saw me with my cheese head, like I was hanging onto it, and he's like, oh, can we do, like, she was filming or doing a live or something, and she filmed me holding it, and then then I got, I had to like steel my nerves to be like, Miss Mead, can I please take a picture with you? I love you. I watch your show every day. And after we took our picture, I asked if she wanted to take a picture with my cheese head. And she did.
Oh, yes. She not only took a picture, she took a video.
Oh, she did. She took videos with poses.
Yes.
And can I say that the cheese had complimented
her
outfit? Ensemble perfectly. I think that cheese had works for Joy Reid.
I think so.
Yes. Miss Reid definitely was fire with the cheese head on today. And then, of course, Marcy and I had to jump in there, photobomb, yes. Get some snaps. Folks, you can check out, if you go to civicmedia.us, we have our entire live scrolling news bits from the DNC. As soon as I get off the air, those Joy Reid photos, you better believe, are going up.
Oh, I already posted mine.
Oh, I love it. Couple of things here. Marcy mentioned that you have a number of roles and leadership positions within mm-hmm. the DNC. First, let's start with what is an at-large member and what's unique or different about that role?
So the at-large delegates are the ones that are go after the process where the delegates are selected through their county parties and congressional districts. There are several, there's a little slew of spots that are available for other folks, and that is to make sure that we are, as a state party, as Wisconsin Democrats, are accurately reflecting, you know, what our state looks like. Mm-hmm. And so people get selected from that list to come and represent their communities as well.
Which is absolutely amazing. We also noted, Marcy did during your introduction, that you are helping to represent the Native American community mm-hmm. from the state of Wisconsin. I think that's so critical that our caucus, that the Wisconsin delegation, does indeed, mm-hmm. in a very literal sense, have representation from all of our communities.
Exactly.
Do you meet, does the Native American caucus or the First Nation caucus meet separately within the DNC structure?
Yeah, actually, and talking about highlights, you know, mine has, as amazing as the floor was yesterday,
yes.
and I wear my emotions on my sleeve, and I cried several times,
yes.
but I think the highlight so far has been the meeting of the Native American caucus, and it was so remarkable to see a room full of tribal leaders, Native people who are elected to offices throughout the country that represent communities that are not necessarily just Native people, and seeing the folks that want to come and make sure that they're being good allies to Native people and put out good policy that affects Native people. It was really great. And then Governor Walz, Coach Tim comes, and I have to say he spoke so well and thoroughly and enthusiastically, and he was real about this, you know, about tribal sovereignty. Mm-hmm. And how he worked and his administration work with tribes in Minnesota, and also his lieutenant governor is Peggy Flanagan, who is a member of the White Earth Nation, another amazing leader, and he picked her.
Yes.
And so, you know, we know that he has a commitment to Indian country, and he spoke so thoroughly about issues that were important to us, and so much so that I don't think I've ever seen another non-Native elected official speak that well on issues that are important to us.
What a moment.
It was.
So poignant being here in Chicago, right,
mm-hmm.
in the state of Illinois, in this region where you have such rich First Nation history, where we're never standing on land that was not Native American land.
Exactly.
And so, again, I think, you know, admittedly, did not know a ton about Governor Walz when Vice President Harris picked him.
Mm-hmm.
But every single additional bit of information or insight that I get into the governor, he continues to impress me on all sorts of axes. I can add this now to the mix.
And can I throw in too,
please.
when he was getting ready to leave, he's like, I'm going to leave you all with words that were taught to me by Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, Chi Miigwech, which means like a big thank you in the Ojibwe language.
Yes.
And so hearing him pull that out, and it's clear that this is not the first time he said those words, it was just, my heart was full. It was really great.
I'd love to jump in with a question. So I recently saw a post on Facebook. Flanagan had actually trained Walls in becoming an elected official.
Oh, my goodness.
And it said it started with training. And speaking of training, Emerge.
Yes.
Emerge is a training ground for women who are pro-choice, democratic. I'm, again, a proud alumni. You're the executive director. We have just a couple of minutes. Can you tell us a little bit about Emerge? And we have a woman on a ticket.
Yes.
What does that mean for these women who are going through this program?
Can I say that Emerge was actually founded by a group of women that came together to elect Kamala Harris to district attorney in San Francisco.
Wow.
And from their efforts, it has now grown into an organization that has 26 states, and we like to call her our first alum.
Oh.
So, and I actually got to meet her one time, and when they introduced me, they said Executive Director Emerge Wisconsin, and she did the little excited hop and clap and said, I love Emerge! But
we've got 1 minute.
Oh my gosh. We train Democratic women on how to run for office.
Yes.
Get as many women as possible into office.
More of us.
More of us.
Putting our voices together, demanding change and progress.
Yes.
Thank you so much. That is Arvina Martin, delegate here at the DNC, the executive director of Emerge. You can find more about that on the interwebs, of course. We're going to have to take care of some business, but we'll be right back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network special live coverage here at the 2024 DNC. Back in just a moment.
Why you gotta mess with mine? Don't keep sweating what I do, 'cause I'm gonna be just fine. Check it out. If I wanna take a guy home with me tonight, it's none of your business.
None of your business.
Wanna be a freaking, sell it on a weekend.
None of your business. None of your
business. None
ya, as the kids say. My bodies and our bedrooms. None ya. It's just that simple, folks. I'm Maggie Dawn. Welcome back. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin and beyond. You can always find our live stream at civicmedia.us. You can go to any app store, find our app for free. It is the gift that you can give to all of your family and friends that will keep on giving really good ideas and super fun commentary on all things politics and beyond. I might even talk about the Brewers sometime this week. But I don't think I'll need to because, wow, it is happening here at the DNC. I'm joined by my special co-host this hour, Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelian Nicholson. We've got just the man to talk to at the DNC, Scott Ross, former executive director of One Wisconsin Now, provocateur in the best sense of the word, firebrand, and frequent guest of the Devils. Thanks so much for making time, Scott. Nice to see you.
It is fabulous to be here. When you started saying that somebody was going to come up talking about knowing things and waiting for that person to show up, but you know.
Well, between the three of us, we can
rub between you two. You two are great. I am the one. I will be the... I'm the barnacle. I'm sorry. I'm the lamprey on your shark of progressive progress. So,
first of all, I got to give some snaps for the tan suit.
Yes, it's so good. It's so good.
Listen, you know when the Republicans have to make up nonsense to criticize Democrats about, like Obama's tan suit. That's when we know we've owned the MAGA cult, and it seems like we are fast approaching this point here, Scott, don't you think?
Absolutely, and I will just say that I am thorough, and I researched the tie as well, purchased this a couple years ago, because the tan suit controversy was one of the most ridiculous. It was, I think that was on the heels of the beer summit. You know, remember when America was so innocent in our young, you know, way back then, where a tan suit was a controversy, the Republicans get the D.C. press corps to write about. So I not only, you know, I had bought this suit, you know, in response to that, and then got this tie, but I was covering the RNC. I'm a public broadcast, a PBS Wisconsin. I'm their Democratic pundit. And I wore that inside of the RNC convention the night J.D. Vance did his speech, because I thought that was the ultimate troll.
Yes.
And I had one person
Seriously,
say to me,
they got it.
Nice Obama suit. It wasn't inside. It was an African-American vendor outside.
Yeah.
So
okay,
there
well,
you go.
That like tracks a thousand.
I think there's a
percent.
Lot there.
Yes, we could just,
says a
we
lot
could just
there.
Riff on that moment for the entirety of the afternoon. Well, of course, it was the Obama tan suit controversy, and then Biden sporting the like Cole Haan air sole, yes. like comfy shoes.
Absolutely.
That was a controversy.
Which he would take off to use his Peloton, because remember, the New York Times had a big to do about him having a Peloton. You know, so, I mean, again...
I don't even think Trump can spell Peloton.
Exactly. So. The idea that, you know, we had a president, you know, who could actually get up on a Peloton and take a ride on it and that sort of thing, as opposed to, you know, our now 78-year-old, 34-time convicted felon, credibly, you know, determined to be a rapist, and also clearly mentally, he has lost his mental faculties, who is now leading the Republican Party.
But he's a real trim 6'3", 215, believes zero people except the Georgia Department of Corrections, I guess?
I'm not going to lie. You know, and again, like, I am somebody I've weighed everywhere as an adult from 487 pounds to 195 pounds. I literally am 6'3", and right now 214 pounds. So, maybe the radio puts on 50 pounds or whatever, you know, so that Trump and I are the same body type. But, we also do share the same birthday, June 14th.
Really? No way.
Along with Devil's Advocate
yes.
host.
Dominic Sola.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
I know that well.
And fighting Bob La Follette.
Fighting Bob.
Wow.
And Che Guevara.
Wow.
And I'm
going to
go
oh
one more.
Goodness.
Boy George, which is the first concert I ever saw, was Culture Club back in like 1983.
We have legitimately brought all of this completely full circle. It's funny that you mentioned the tan suit controversy and sort of the good old days where this is what we were wringing hands about. I had this exact conversation last night with a bunch of my friends, including my fabulous producer, Brian Kelly. When I first started to do radio, I remember very specifically railing about then Trump cabinet appointee Secretary of the Environmental Protection Agency, Scott Pruitt, because he wanted the skiff built in his office. I think there was something about specialty pens, the expensive travel. And the guy, of course, was an oil industry executive, because Donald Trump won't say that the sentence climate change is real, period. And that's what we were worried about. We were worried about the hush money payments to the porn star, and we were worried about Scott Pruitt's skiff and expensive travel. That was before, you know, the poo hit the actual fan.
Yeah. But I mean, again, I think with that, it's a, you know, some things change, some things stay the same.
Yes.
Don't forget that, you know, Dick Cheney and George Bush kept the energy task force that met with all of the oil executives, and they would never release that. And I worked on the anti-George Bush movement in 2004 out of D.C., and we could not try, you know, we tried to get them, could not get them. He would not release them, you know. And
has anybody tried a fresh FOIA request on that?
I have not.
That's not a bad idea, actually, because the administration, you know.
But again, think about how far we've come.
Yes.
Dick Cheney isn't voting for Donald Trump.
I know.
And his daughter
was
run out of the party, and somebody who, like, a lot of us didn't like.
Yes.
You know, so.
Well, Dick Cheney was like Dr. Evil before I was introduced to the depths of darkness that is Bill Barr.
Absolutely.
I've done entire shows on, like, do you all know who Bill Barr is? This goes back to, like, the Iran-Contra affair, Iraqgate. I mean, this guy has been the fixer for countless Republican presidents.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Barr's about face. Here's a question for you, Scott, and I want to hear, Marcy, your answer as well. Which flip-flopper on the Donald Trump is a disgusting menace to democracy and is unfit on every possible axis to be president, which flip-flopper bothers you the most? And no, you cannot pick J.D. Vance as an answer.
Yeah, that's, you know what? That is ludicrous. But I'm going to go, I'll just go a different way and
sure.
give Marcelia some time to think about it.
You know, or do you have one top of list?
This one comes to mind. It's Laura Ingraham for calling it Milwaukee, Minnesota.
Oh, that's a good, yep, yep, for sure.
Come
absolutely.
On now. Come on now.
Absolutely.
We got to whip off the map.
This way. That's right. That's yeah. right. Don't disrespect us.
Absolutely. 100%. I think it's a good thing to point out. Think about who wasn't at the RNC and who isn't supporting Donald
yes.
Trump, his former vice president.
Yeah, right. Pence.
Hang Mike Pence.
Yep.
His former, you know, the former vice president who last elected by the Republicans, which was Dick Cheney.
Yep.
The last Republican president before him, which was George Bush. You know, what, 87% of his cabinet.
Yeah.
You know, and like the entirety pretty much of the sort of, you know, establishment Republican intellectual, you know, Bradley Foundation funded circle of lunatics, ne'er-do-wells, and liars. And they're against Trump. So, you know, again, it tells you where things have come.
So I have a favorite or a most bothersome flip-flopper. Speaking of who was and wasn't at the RNC. And that is Trump's former chief of staff, Reince Priebus.
Mm.
Okay? Like, Reince, be and do better. I mean, the private back channel is basically that Reince knows this guy is terrible, a bad person, incapable of leadership, can't process complicated information, and frankly, again, a threat to the baseline world order, more likely to bring us into global warfare, et cetera. The scuttlebutt is that Reince is well aware of all of this, and yet he's basically still out there pitching for the man. It's, to me, that's terrible, and it's a stain because the guy's a Wisconsinite.
Absolutely, and I only because, you know, we have the county board chair here Milwaukee County
yes.
that I'm going to throw this one out. Even though he has zero relevance, no longer exists, the worst flip-flopper is, and get ready to buzz me, Scott Walker.
Oh, yeah.
That
yes.
guy. You know, I mean, remember that he was, you know, yanked into the Never Trump thing. He was the cheerleader for it. And now, like, literally, you know, he has three things that he does on Twitter, basically, which is the thing he does. He insults people of color.
Yes.
He insults women, and he insults women of color. That is his MO in the promotion of Donald Trump.
This from a man who looks like the walking, living 3D version of Elmer Fudd, if there ever was one. The Scott Walker ear thing, it's like every time he talks, I just want to be, Mr. Fudd, no one asked you, please shut up. Mm-hmm. And the irony that the Republicans pick this guy to lead their, like, youth engagement group. Scott Walker to millennial engagement is like a fish to a stinking bicycle. Like, are you for real with this guy?
And it just speaks to the power of big money in
yes.
our elections and how folks are willing to throw, you know, our people under the bus to make a quick buck. Scott Walker as county exec did a lot of damage. But as governor of Wisconsin, I mean, he flipped our state upside down, and we're still paying the cost of that.
Exactly. Like, you know, you and I can't, you know, travel to see each other via high-speed rail,
exactly.
which we would have had.
Exactly.
You know?
Thank you, Scott.
And I will,
I was talking
will,
about
I will
this
never, ever get over
too.
That.
Never.
And the thing is, I spend a little bit of time in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And before I was going over there, somebody who used to work in politics was like, hey, you're going to ride one of those Talgo trains? And I guess I didn't pay enough attention to the brand name of the mm-hmm. choo-choo factory. He's like, but yeah, check those out, because that's the ones
they're
we would
amazing.
Have had. And I, again,
we
I'm,
still paid for them, though.
Exactly.
Still
I'm
paid
6'3".
For
I could cross my feet in front of me without touching the seat in front. So, yeah, that's one I'm never, ever, ever going to get over. But I'm going to get real here for a second.
Please.
If we have a moment.
Yeah.
I know I criticized Scott Walker. I spent, you know, 2009 to, you know,
yeah,
20 minutes
years.
Ago criticizing yeah. but I have something to admit. Scott Walker is the reason that I met my wife.
Oh,
because
wow.
back in 2011, when Walker, dropped the bomb,
yes.
we were filming commercials over in Milwaukee about people talking about how he has hurt Milwaukee and how his how his plan would hurt Wisconsin. And my friend who was supposed to be in charge of that couldn't be there. And she asked me, could you go and wrangle the talent? And what's that? And my wife was one of the talent. And she and I talked about it. She's like, so how are you going to deal with being at the RNC? And I was like, well, you know, I'm just going to get my sea legs and see how things go. And she says, and I said, you know what? I think I'm going to go up to Walker finally and just say that to him about how, you know, thanks
for about the trains,
right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to go up to him and say, hi, my name's Scott Ross. I used to attack you a lot. So he couldn't pull the whole, who are you?
Yes.
I'm like, I just want to tell you, you know, for all your dumb stuff, you helped me meet my wife. So thanks for that. And I was going to do that. And I saw him the first day and I was like still gun shy.
Yeah.
The second day I was going to do it. Okay. And I saw him walking down to be interviewed. And I got down there to where he was being interviewed, and he was pulling a whole bunch of anti-trans garbage. And I was like, there's a reason I don't like this guy, and I ain't doing it.
Yeah.
So that's I wanted to be nice, but he made me not be able to be nice.
So the stomach churn of stomach churns that I had at the RNC, and I saw these people nearly in successive order. Corey Lewandowski, Roger Stone, and then freaking alternative facts, Kellyanne Conway.
Oh, my God.
And I was just standing there, and I was like, wanted to heckle Roger. He was on Breitbart at the time. Wanted to be like, show him your Nixon tattoo, you freak show weirdo. I mean, what sort of screw loose kind of person do you have to be like, I'm going to get an 18-inch just face tattoo of Richard Nixon put on the top of my back between my shoulder blades? It's like, what is the dumb, corrupt, Trumpian version of the tramp stamp, but trashier and stupider all at the same time, slammed between your shoulder blades? Like, that's Roger Stone. The guy, I mean, when you are the living embodiment of the Monopoly guy, like, this is not a positive thing.
Oh, yeah. And when I was over that, so over in Panther Arena,
yes,
it was, honest to God, it was like an alternative reality.
Yes.
And I saw him there. He looked like he was dressed mafioso. He had like huge,
double-breasted,
yep.
Like,
so we weird. Saw him the same day.
3-inch pinstripe. Scott, you want to hang around for one more?
I'm going to have
hit?
To go. I'm going to need to go. I need to go. I'm
our
sorry.
Our very special guest.
Can we say hi to your wife? Hey,
absolutely.
Lisa.
What's happening, Lisa?
Hey, Lisa. That's Scott Ross, former executive director of One Wisconsin Now. Maybe we'll get you back one more time before this big party's over.
That'd be wonderful. It was wonderful seeing the both of you.
Good to see you, Scott.
Thank you.
Folks, don't go anywhere. We're Civic Media. We'll be right back after these brief messages.
The moral of this story is, who are you to judge? There's only one true judge, and that's God. So chill and let my father do his job.
This ain't Texas. Ooh. Ain't no hold'em. Hey. So lay your cards down, 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 down. So park your Lexus. Ooh. And throw your keys up. Hey. Stick around, round, round, round,
round, round, round, round, round.
You come pour some sugar on me, honey, too. It's a real live boogie and a real live hold down. Don't be a bitch, come take it to the floor now. Woo! There's a tornado.
There is a tornado here in Chicago. Its name is Kamala Harris. Yes. She's blowing the roof off this paella. So happy to be here. And thanks so much, Marcy, for being my co-host today.
I had so much fun. This was a pleasure. Thank you.
We're going to do the DNC Minute with Marcy tomorrow and Thursday.
I love that. Let's do it.
You're
going to
do
happen.
A little show up,
yeah,
so I can glow
in.
Up?
Yeah, let you know how it's going.
I always want to hear from you, my friend. And I think I've told this story maybe once on air, but since we've been listening to some amazing tunes, thank you, Brian Kelly, I thought we could share with everybody what our little meet cute story is.
Oh, yeah.
And why you're my sister of a different mister.
Yeah. Do you want to do the honors?
They hear from me too much.
So, I heard about this dynamic woman who was going to be appointed as our corporation counsel of Milwaukee County. Maggie Dawn, I read her resume. I already decided she would have my vote because you just seemed like the type of woman that could lead us through the challenges that we've faced and have overcome. Thanks to you. Thank you so much. But long story short, I found myself at a Lauryn Hill concert, went down to the basement. I think we literally run into each other,
yep.
Introduced ourselves. It was love at first sight.
It was, and I had on like my funky little hat and my big old like.
You were the cutest.
Big old thing. Hoops, because we were. It's not like business, right? It was a hangout.
Maggie, the resume already had me sold. And then I said, "This woman loves Lauryn Hill. Oh, she's definitely the bee's knees. So that was just amazing. And we've, you know, continued that love of music and just sisterhood. That was 2016, was it?
2017. It was February of 2017. I had just blown you up a couple weeks ago because Lauryn Hill was supposed to be playing Milwaukee at the end of this month. And I was like, sister friend, we have got to go to the show again. But unfortunately, the Fugees had to cancel their North American tour. But yep, to everybody out there listening, that is how Marcelia and I knew that we definitely shared a page or two. And that we wanted to be written into each other's books.
Yes.
I have often remarked to people that if the only thing, and there were many, many blessings, and I hope good outcomes for the citizens and voters in Milwaukee County for my time of service, but on a very personal level, if the only plus that I had ever gotten out of serving Milwaukee County was my deep, deep, lifelong friendship with you,
then it
was time well spent. What are you looking forward to for the rest of this week? It's going to be so much fun.
You know, I can't believe it's only just been one full day and a half.
Yes.
I feel like this morning was just insane. I'm looking forward to our President Barack Obama speaking.
I know.
Michelle.
Yes.
Becoming, I have to plug. The book was
just phenomenal.
Of course. Amazing. I'm looking forward to hearing from Kamala on Thursday, that acceptance speech. I want to hear from Coach Walls. He's like America's dad, you know, just so comforting. Continuing to just celebrating with the Wisconsin delegation, meeting folks from all across the country, running into the people that you get to see on TV. And then it's like a dream sometimes, just walking on the floor.
Yes.
And just the excitement. The floor, I see the balloons sort of tucked up above, and I can't wait for them to fall down. And I can just... I can't wait to just that moment where that nomination's accepted and Kamala is going to be elected on November 5th. We're going to make sure of it. This is just an incredible experience.
So I'm going to ask you about some of the brass tacks of being in these places at conventions, at moments like this. Because, folk, if you don't know this, the logistics of all this stuff, and like... So time goes by in this like really weird, fast, slow way. And all of a sudden it will occur to you like, oh my gosh, I haven't had anything to eat in like 10 hours.
Yes.
I need to, but
like
I gotta
right
go
now.
To this thing. Yeah. And then you gotta kind of try to find where the food is. Cause the real action is of course in prime time and later into
exactly.
the evening. So just keeping yourself like fed, watered, and rested.
Yes.
Now, Marcy, you're a beautiful woman. What is your tip for the DNC? You're a pro at this now.
Oh my gosh. My
for
tip.
Showing up always glowing and beautiful. What
my
is your tip?
I carry a powder sunscreen.
Powdered sunscreen.
Because you're gonna be in and out. Wear something that doesn't wrinkle.
This is big.
A flat or something with a platform.
Yep.
Okay. And then just get you a big tote bag.
Yeah.
So you can tuck those snacks. Couple bottles of water.
Gotta have your H2O and snacks.
That's right. And it just have fun. Bring the joy.
And keep your phone out. Like, don't even bother to put that away because, like, everywhere you're walking.
That's right.
So my favorite celebrity sighting today was seeing Mayor Bill de Blasio walking down the concourse.
Bill.
I was like, Mayor de Blasio. And it's great because I can have, like, tall folk moments with people. So I was like, Bill, come here. Folks, you can see that photo. I'm going to put up the pics
I love Bill.
Of Joy Reid with Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson and myself as soon as I get off air. Brian, who's your favorite?
The one time that I didn't bring my phone out, I was programming something here, Nancy Pelosi walks by. And then I'm telling Corey, I can't believe I left my phone, and Nancy Pelosi walked by. And then as I did that, Rob Reiner just walked by, and I missed the chance to go and take a picture of him. So I just ruined the whole thing.
Oh,
and you should have just been yelling out, Meathead!
At that point, I was just yelling out,
I had that same moment with Nancy Pelosi. And then this is what I figured out you do. You just keep your phone in selfie mode.
Yes.
As you walk around and there's
just pop right on in.
Yeah, exactly.
You
just
gotta
pop it right in.
Don't wait. You cannot be
polite.
Right.
No, just do it. Just do it.
As you're an extrovert, I'm an extrovert. And even though I am an extrovert, I got home last night And I felt like a toy that had run out of batteries.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, yes. I was drained at the end of the night. It was a very short night because I got to bed, I think, 2 in the morning. I was up by 6 in the morning and ready for our delegation breakfast. But, you know, the adrenaline is pumping. Being back in the United Center is really pulling us through.
Yes.
But get some rest. Drink water, y'all. Don't yeah, take it
keep
easy.
Keep it hydrated.
Yeah, keep
you
it hydrated.
Keep it hydrated. I just want to leave everybody with this today. I can't believe the show is over. First of all, thank you so much, Marcy. And I just want to say this. I love you.
I love you.
Keep doing your work.
Thank you.
You make it better for all of us. Folks, that's going to do it for me. I think I even forgot to say this yesterday. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz,
right,
our next president and vice president. That'll do it for me. Devil's Advocates are next here at Civic Media's live coverage from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Take care, everybody.
Come take it to the floor now.
And I'll be damned if I cannot dance with you.